The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ross, we started the show today talking a lot about Jalen Hurts, and it was one of those, and you know, we do this every couple of weeks. It's a Hurts reset. You know, where are we now with Jalen?
Yep.
And, you know, I had made the point earlier, I made a couple points. One, he's really improved dramatically within this season, I think, on two primary things, and he deserves a tremendous amount of credit. And some of my past criticism, I do feel bad about, because he has played better than I expected he would. And I am very encouraged by that. And the two things I think he's most improved on is that he's not turning it over. And this goes after a stretch from the middle of last year to a portion of this year when he was leading the league in turnovers for, you know, what was almost a full NFL season's length. I mean, he was kind of a turnover machine there. He's completely reined that in. And the other is that he's running so much more effectively, decisively. I'm very encouraged by that. But I also still have my worries if they need to lean on him in the passing game in a playoff game. I do worry about him holding them back, even though 2 years ago he was superb against Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And I made this comment, Ross, and tell me if you think this is unfair. I made the point that for me, with the Eagles' car hopefully headed to the Super Bowl, Jalen's in the back seat. And everyone here is like, whoa, that's not fair. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. The defense, and if there's two seats in the front seat, the defense is one seat and Saquon's the other seat. I mean, am I wrong?
No, I think that's fair. And I think it's, you know, when people ask me about the Eagles when I'm on in other cities and they'll be like, is this for real, Ross? Are they really this good? What I say to them is I say, well, they have a top five running back, if not the best running back. They have a top five offensive line, if not the best offensive line. Top five wide receiver duo, if not the best. They have a top five defense, if not the best. I don't know what to say when I say Jalen, because I don't think he's a top five quarterback. I think he's probably a top 10 quarterback. I'd have to go down and list it and just go through it.
I agree with you there. I think he's in the top 10.
Part of that might be what they're asking him to do, but like, I don't think he's Josh Allen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's some of these other guys. I thought the game against the Ravens, I thought he was going to have to outplay Lamar Jackson. I'm not sure he did that, but you know, Lamar missed a couple throws.
Sure did.
Lamar got taken down in the backfield for sacks that he normally doesn't.
He also didn't run. I'm looking at Lamar Jackson. I'm like, what in, like, what?
And that's why Lamar was mad at himself afterwards. His mom yelled at him and said
you should have run more.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, no, Lamar could have taken more advantage of his legs. That's the fine line that exists when you have those skills as a quarterback. Jalen balances it better than all of these guys. Jalen is doing everything right. He's doing what it takes to win. That's what he cares about.
Well, your point, Joe, is can you win a Super Bowl with a quarterback not being the driving force,
not being in the front seat? I would not say that's my point. That's not actually my point, because I know you can. It doesn't happen that often. But there are, you know, seven or eight examples in the last 30 years, whether it's Phil Simms, whether it's Jeff Hostetler, whether it's Brad Johnson, whether it's Trent Dilfer. And I'm not saying he's better than all of them.
How many of those are in the last 5 to 10 years, though?
Not many. But look, the Eagles are built like a team from the 1980s, so they might win it this way. My greater concern, Ross, the way I'd frame it is this, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of Donovan.
It's run differently from a quarterback perspective than it was in the 80s.
Here's the more interesting thing, I think, Ross, is do you have worry that in the playoffs, Jalen will be a preventative factor for the Eagles to win a Super Bowl? And my answer is yes, I do worry about it. I'm not saying they can't win with him, and I'm not saying he might not raise his game, because he might. He certainly was superb in 2022 and has already improved a decent amount this year. But do I worry, like a lot of people used to say 20 years ago, you know, Donovan in the end, just don't trust him. And I trusted him a lot, but a lot of people didn't trust him all the way. Rhea, you were obviously an example of that.
Yeah, no.
And in the end, they did not win a Super Bowl with Donovan. So, to me, that's the more interesting thing. Do you have worry that he holds them back in the end? By the way, Ross, before you address that, let me right now, because we do it at the top of the hour, a chance for people to hear a name, which knowing this name Friday, you can win tickets to the Eagles and Panthers.
And the name is...
All right, we got an Eagles-Panthers theme this week, and I hate to do it. Mark Semino.
That's just mean.
Mark Semino.
That's just not right. Somebody over him again.
It's not right. Deshaun Foster just ran over his freaking face for a third time. Yes. All right.
Mark Semino was a nice guy. He was a nice guy.
Good for him. That's all I got on Mark Semino.
That's apparently all John has, too.
Now, I will say that. I will say this, Ray. In Mark Semino's defense, his defense gave up 14 points. John Ritchie's offense scored 3.
Well,
now, granted, Donovan McNabb got knocked out and was a cheap shot, and the referee didn't call it and all that. But I'm just saying, Richie, you know what really hurt? Deuce dropped that. I love Deuce. He dropped that ball down the left sideline. And it just, you know, we all know that.
That was one of the worst games I ever walked out of.
I know.
Like, people say the Tampa game
was
really,
the third straight.
And I'm telling you, there was a visceral anger in the crowd.
I
walked out with Mike Garofalo.
Yep.
And I was like, he goes, I'm going to walk you to your car.
Yeah,
I was like, okay,
thank you. Walking out of a 14-3 NFC Championship loss and was the third straight was bad. Anyway, we'll give you better names later in the week about Eagles-Panthers history.
But I feel sick right now. I actually feel nauseous. I feel nauseated thinking about that. I don't know why, but that hit me hard.
I know why. We all do.
Right,
you just
there.
You were there. You were part of it.
Because you care, and you could have a ring on your finger.
Normally, it's not that profound. I mean, that was just gross.
Yeah, I get it, man. Oh. All right, so Rhea, of course, we give these tickets away on Friday.
Yes, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
So make sure you listen to our show, 8 o'clock tomorrow and Friday. We'll give you two more names. Know the four names we've said this week. String them together, and you can win the tickets Friday, Eagles and Panthers. Now, Ross, I want to play some audio of Sirianni. You may have been the person that first framed this concept of the Eagles setting up defenses with how they call plays.
He was on our show for sure. Ross was the first person to say it.
So, Ross, when I asked Sirianni about this yesterday, I couldn't remember who it was, but I asked him a theory you had presented a few weeks ago, and make of it what you will, the answer from Sirianni about the Eagles' offense. You'll get it. Here's the question. Here's his answer. The slow starts on offense, I know we've talked about it a bunch, and we had a call or a guest, somebody in the last week or so, brought forth a theory and said maybe more than most teams, they try to decode the opposing defense more than other teams. And it's not that they're not trying to score, because of course you are, but maybe you put a greater emphasis on trying to set up future plays and decode what the opposing defense is doing. Any possibility that that person's on the right track, that you do it more than most?
You know, I think what our coaches have done, again, when you're good on offense, you're going to get things that you don't quite anticipate. Like, there's things that are going to be shown on tape that aren't shown on tape. Rich, you know this. Like, that are not shown on tape that you're going to get because you have a good offense. And, like, where did that come from? I haven't seen that. Well, they saved it for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think we talk so much about, you know, slow starts, and we have to start scoring more on our opening drives. And, you know, we've had some, we had some drives that have went. The last week was not one of those. But I think what our coaches don't get enough credit for is the way they do adjust and the way they do set up, because we are one of the top scoring offenses in the second, third, and fourth. But we tend to look at things just in a negative aspect of where we are in the first quarter. Now, that's not to say that we don't have to get going, faster and better, than we have, because it's so important that you get off to a fast start. But I think the coaches and the players have all done a nice job of adjusting to what the defense is doing to us. And that's why we're one of the better scoring teams in the second, third, and fourth quarter. Now, how do we unlock that? If I had the answer, we would do it. We are digging and we are clawing and we are scratching to find the answer, so we can get points on that opening drive.
All right, Ross, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. I was struck by him, though, not saying no. I mean, maybe he buys that. Maybe that is what's going on. It was your theory. What do you make of his answer? What do you make of the situation?
Yeah, I think, I mean, look, I'm in these production meetings with these offensive coordinators every week, right? And I think there is a balance there between what you think your 10 best plays are, or whatever, 10 to 15, against what you're expecting and what you think is best to try to score versus using a bunch of different personnel groupings and formations to see how the defense is going to line up to it. So you know for the after that how you want to attack it. I think it's a balance for every team. I do think listening to Sirianni's answer there, I think the Eagles probably are more 50-50 on seeing what the opponent – because let's put it this way, okay? There is no way – that when they are going over the plays for that week, that they're saying, okay, now on second down, we'll throw it to Will Shipley. Then on third down, we'll throw it to Britton Covey. Like that, there is no way they could say that that is their plan, the best plan to score on that first drive, which leads me to believe they Kellen Moore wants to see how the opponent is lining up to certain formations, because even like having Shipley and Saquon in the backfield at the same time, it's almost like Kellen Moore was trying to give the Ravens something different, something that they weren't ready for, and see how they reacted to it. I think it is a balance there, but I do think, I hope it doesn't cost them. You know, like
well, for sure.
It's working so far,
yeah.
But these first quarters have really, really been rough, and it's the polar opposite of Steichen's approach 2 years ago, which was, we're scoring a touchdown on the first drive every week. We're going to play with a lead every week. And then you guys, you're going to have to catch up to us.
Yeah.
And we're going to be able to get after you.
Part of how they got 70
sacks. I prefer Steichen.
But I will say this, at 10-2, you know, while we're not happy with the first drive, I mean, it's hard to complain much because there may, again, I'm not saying they're not trying to score, but there may be a strategic element that we just haven't viewed enough. You guys know I am convinced Jalen intentionally doesn't run much early. We all want him to pick his spots. No one wants him to be reckless and run 25 times a game. That'd be ridiculous. He wouldn't finish the season. And I am convinced that he runs more as the game goes on than he does early. I mean, my eyes just tell me that. I'm sure the numbers do. And I think that's part of why they get better as they get rolling. Let's get to Scott in King of Prussia. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, team.
What's up, Scott?
Ross, looking at Jalen Carter on tape, I'm kind of amazed. Like, I feel like I'm looking at Jerome Brown a little bit. Could you talk about, as an offensive lineman, just how dominating he's playing?
Well, it's funny that you say that, and it might be because he's 98 and Jerome was 99, and Jerome was the heyday of my fandom. Like, I loved those guys. Those are my guys. Seth Joyner, Jerome Brown, Reggie White, like Eric Allen. I mean, I could tell you Byron Evans, Wes Hopkins, Andre Waters, Ben Smith. Like, I could do the whole starting lineup, okay, from the late 80s, early 90s Eagles. Those are my guys.
Hold on, Scott. Hold on, Russ. Who did Willie T replace outside linebacker?
Ooh.
Come on. If you know that team, know the guy.
So I've got so many names coming to mind right
now.
Guy. So hold on. Seth Joyner, Byron Evans. Like, literally,
It was Jesse Small briefly, and then Willie T got right in there. That's all.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have known that.
But I got
Brent Jesse Hager, Small Scott out there. That's just not
saying,
right.
If Ross is puffing his chest, I know it all. No, I'm with you, Ross. Who is the linebackers coach, Joe?
We know it's the only stupid human trick you have, Joe,
it
and
really
we're
is.
Very happy about it.
I'm
While you were studying, I was actually out there playing football, killing little kids in the backyard.
Get him, Ross.
Okay?
Get out,
Ross. Well done, all right, Ross. The Jerome thing, though, it is. It's coming into focus.
It's like similar body type. The number looks the same, 98-99. And what really stood out to me is they're both getting double teamed a ridiculous amount, but the fact that they keep fighting and the burst, that one sack he had at the end of the first half of Lamar Jackson, where Lamar was like 4 yards away from him, and Jalen Carter, he has that like 5 to 8 yard burst. Plus, what I love about this guy, and I haven't talked to him yet, it doesn't matter if he's double teamed. it doesn't matter if he's playing 60 snaps. He is a bad you-know-what. Like, he would have fit in on the Buddy Ryan teams, all those, sure the body bag game, the whole deal. Like, Jalen Carter, he's not eligible for a contract till next year. I don't even know how much he cares about. He just wants to kill people. Like, he is – I absolutely love watching him. I am so impressed with his endurance and mentality on every snap.
You just mentioned it. His endurance is something that's jumped out to me, especially because it's something that he struggled with. He's playing every snap, and he is really not taking plays off.
Which is I actually have a concern at that position. Well, it's beyond bizarre. I don't ever remember, ever. Now, I'm sure it's happened elsewhere, and we just weren't following snap by snap. I don't ever remember a defensive tackle over multiple games playing 95% or more of the snaps.
I don't think when I think about the Eagles going to the Super Bowl, there's a lot of football left. I don't think it's a great idea.
Yeah. All right, Scott, we got to move faster. Give me an answer. The best female movie character of the 90s.
All right, I'm going to go with Vivian from Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's another good answer
what
right there.
A great answer.
Yeah, Viv. Viv, like that answer a lot. George Alexander, total jerk. Total jerk.
I mean, Jason Alexander.
Oh, yeah, who'd I say?
George Costanza.
Oh, he was so nasty in that movie.
I mean, he's borderline. He's like, he's trying to
I was so happy Richard Gere finally punched him in the face.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was horrendous. All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. Little Led Zeppelin action here. Ross Tucker with us right now as well. We got Seltzer and Rhea and Devin. Wonderful to be with you. Sixers got a win last night. Flyers off again. Sixers back at it tonight. Eagles obviously on Sunday. So Juan Soto could sign soon, real soon. Perhaps as soon as the next 4 or 5 days reports are. Twitter poll question of the day about whether they will get him. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Harry, red tag bonus cash in soon. New 2025 Chevy Trax arriving daily. Started at only $21,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. The poll question, will the Phillies sign Juan Soto, yes or no? Certainly seems like the people in the know think the answer will be no. Seltzer had it at less than 1%. That's not good. All right, second poll question, do you want the MLB to have this golden at-bat rule where you get to stick a dude up there for one at-bat a game and you know you're going to pick your best player? Basically, and an extra at bat at any time. Just hop on up there, Bryce Harper, Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, and I don't like it. I think it would really, really junk up the rule book. All right, so you can vote at Sports Radio WIP.
And he just goes back to his normal spot after that?
Well, he could bat two in a row. Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm wondering.
We don't quite know because we don't know all of that. But
like, if you do it in the first inning and he's supposed to bat third, and you say, hey, you know what, we're going to bat him second.
Well, I don't think it would be also, in the first inning.
Does
right?
he also bat third,
Not
too?
Normally. It would not normally be
I'm just
first
saying, in the concept.
No, I agree with you, John.
Like, yes, I think he would bat twice.
Bang, bang. Yeah.
And then I don't know. It's a double. Pinch right. Like, it's so.
It's ridiculous. That's
it's ridiculous.
Weird.
It's so
that's
dumb.
Weird. Like, you could make it wonky if you chose.
You could be on second base and have to run up to the plate, and then you hit a home run, and you get two runs. Does that count as two runs for you, or does the pinch runner get the run?
Boy, that's
it's also stupid. Like, there's so many things like that.
Yeah. Does this make me a bad person because I think I like it because it upsets James so much?
Yes, that makes you a bad person, Rhea.
We do like seeing James get a little... He does get worked up. Holy
it's
mackerel.
Fun.
He does. All right, 215-592-9494. Ross with us as well. We'll get to what Sirianni said about Jalen in a moment. Ross, you are announcing tomorrow night radio coverage of Green Bay, Detroit.
Yeah.
So we have framed this week a couple times, but it's worth a revisit for those that missed it when we said it earlier this week. This is a massive game for the purpose of the Eagles in the one seed. I mean, obviously, if Detroit wins out, Detroit's going to be the one seed. There's a scenario where they only lose one game and still are the one seed unless Green Bay does the Eagles a solid and wins this game tomorrow night. How would you preview this game? It's so big for the Eagles and fascinating to see. I think Green Bay's the third best team in the conference. So the Eagles are going to probably play at least one of them. They might have to play both in the postseason. How do you frame this one?
Well, it's clearly the game of the week in the NFL. That's for sure. And I'm excited. I'll be on the call for Westwood, which I think you guys have on WIP with Ian Eagle. So it should be awesome tomorrow night. I can't emphasize enough how important I think it is for the Eagles that the Lions lose and that the Eagles get the number one seed. And I say that because last year in the Lions' home playoff win against the Rams, I was there. I was actually on the sideline. That was a top five football environment in my life.
Wow.
Picture this, okay? They hadn't won a playoff game in over 30 years. I've never been around that many grown men crying in any capacity as I was after that game. These people, I have never seen Lions fans travel the way they are right now. This is a love affair, and that is a tough place to play. And we know that the Link is a very tough place to play in the playoffs. I mean, I remember the Niners didn't want any part of it a couple years ago. The Vikings back in 2017, I think some of their players were legitimately scared.
Well, they're 3-2. Just to be frame it historically, the Eagles are 3-2 NFC Championship games at the Link. Because there's also the loss. Actually, I take that back. They're 3-1. Because the only loss at home at the Link was 0-3. 0-2 was at the Vet, just for what it's worth.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I do think it's ratcheted up in recent years for whatever reason. So I think Eagles fans need to watch or listen to tomorrow night's game and root hard for the Packers. I'll say this, though. Next week, the Lions play the Bills. I mean, so there's a real opportunity here for the Eagles. Now, next week, the Eagles play the Steelers. But there's a huge opportunity to be the number one seed. I think that's critical. I personally, Joe, think they've overweighted the one seed too much. You get the bye. Yeah. You're the only one that gets the bye, which is huge for, like, Jalen Carter to rest, Saquon Barkley to rest.
That was 2021.
Yeah, 3 years
ago. Ross, you can't let eight teams in the playoffs. I mean, at some point, there's got to be a stem. I mean, look at college football right now. I mean, all of America's talking about who should be the 12th team. You know what? There shouldn't be a 12th team.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it.
No,
it's the first time I've been invested in college football in the last 25 years. Here,
I'm so excited. I'll tell you this, Joe.
It drives me nuts.
Real quick on college football, okay?
They're all pigs. Everybody's a pig.
Does that include you?
Wait, wow.
So are you, Joe? I've had these conversations with
you. If I can stuff money in my pocket, I'll expand playoffs too, but I'm looking out for the fan. We don't need 37 playoff teams.
All of us love it.
The Penn State fans are hating that they might play in a home playoff game in Beaver Stadium in 2 weeks. They might have a home playoff game against Alabama.
Yeah, but they lost to Ohio State and are still going to make it. And that annoys me a little bit.
So what? So then you think the Eagles should be out because they lost to the Bucs and Falcons?
I'll say this. 2021 Eagles, not really a playoff team. 9-8 and got their asses kicked. Not a playoff team.
Okay.
Well, that's a little different than a team having one or two losses.
But it is a little different.
Oh,
I will acknowledge that. All right, real quick, I'm going to play some audio of Sirianni yesterday, and then we'll get right back to the phones. Because, you know, we talked about Jalen, and today a lot about Jalen and what he brings to the table. He's played a lot better lately, but they also don't lean on him totally. I mean, you know, again, two facts. The Eagles run more than all teams and pass less than all teams. But Sirianni knows, and we all know, Hurts has done a much better job not turning it over, running the whole deal. Here's Sirianni yesterday, a question from John to Nick.
Can you tell us why Jalen Hurts should be in the MVP conversation?
Yeah, I mean, he just wins. I mean, look at his just how he wins and how he's taking care of the football and how he, you know, has been so efficient. Like, look at those quarterback ratings through this 8-game win streak. It's so, like, consistently high over and over and over. And that quarterback rating tells you a lot about how the game goes, right? And then it's not counting all the plays that he makes with his feet when something breaks down, whether it's a route, whether it's a protection, you know, whatever it is of all the things. So, I mean, when the guy who touches the ball every single play on a team that's good, man, that's got to count for something. That counts for something for me. I know that because he's been efficient. He's been leading this football team. He's been, you know, great in situational football, like in 4 minute and backed up and all those different things that gets teams in trouble. He's mastered those things. And so he's led an offense that is scoring points and winning games and, you know, and sometimes you get so bogged down with stats, and I get that, especially when you talk about MVP things. You get so bogged down with stats, but, like, the main stat is winning and losing. And Jalen just, I mean, year after year after year, he just wins. And this is the same thing right now. And he's playing really good, clean football that we sure as heck appreciate as coaches. He hasn't thrown the ball in the fourth quarter very much in the past month and a half. Which can, you know, stat wise, if you're looking at it from if you don't watch the game and you get the stat sheet at the end of the game, you're like, he did this. Yeah, we didn't throw it in the fourth quarter. And so that's a huge deal. And that's sometimes, his stats show, off of the wins, losses is so important, but it doesn't account for, hey, we didn't throw the ball in the fourth quarter because we were up and we were running the clock out.
All right, that's Sirianni yesterday. It's a big endorsement. Let's go to the phones. Where do you stand on Jalen as we kind of reset, with his improved play lately, your level of belief, concern, the whole deal? Let's get to Paul in Downingtown. Ross Tucker with us as well. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And just to piggyback Ross for a minute, I want to talk about John in high school football. All right?
Oh, boy, here we go again.
just two quick takes, okay?
Yeah.
If you're familiar with Tecto Bowl and Bo Jackson, what Bo Jackson was at Tecmo Bowl is what Richie was to high school football. And another thing I'm going to say, and I mean this in all sincerity, the last 40 years, the three best running backs to come out of the Harrisburg area, right? Ricky Waters, John Richie, and Shady.
Fact.
That's a fact.
Paul, is
that's
that another way to say that John was an early peaker?
Unbelievable.
Absolutely, I was an early peaker.
Only you would find the
I mean, Ricky and LaShawn are going to get Hall of Fame votes.
Well, he was certainly a man among boys, if you got to see it. It really was almost unfair, silly.
No, that's cool,
watching him just run over people's backs and just dominate the way he dominated high school football.
No, that's good stuff, Paul.
Thank you very much, Paul, by the way.
You earned it, brother. You earned it. Anyone that knows Pennsylvania high school football has to be familiar with you. But onto the source here, Jalen Hurts. This is a unique kind of perspective or argument, I think, in sports, because from my perspective, I rarely remember a debate where I pretty much agree with everybody all of the time. It's only when you get down into the minutia of really tearing apart game film, where we come down to it, where I kind of side with you, Joe, where it, eventually at some point it does concern me that we don't have an elite passer in the passing game, because what you see with other quarterbacks that I would consider elite in the passing game is the ability to throw to guys that are covered. We saw Joe Burrow complete passes to guys that were covered. That's not something that Hurts is comfortable with. Another thing that we see from elite passers, and I think, John, maybe you can speak to this a little bit. When you're running your route and you're out of your break, that ball should be on you. Like, as a receiver, you got to have your hands up. You got to be ready, because in the pros, like in high school, if it happens, it's amazing. But in the pros, it should happen routinely. When the guys get out of their break, that ball should, boom, it should be on them. Hurts really struggles with that. A lot of times what you see is the guys come out of their break, and it's almost like Hurts makes eye contact with them, recognizes they're open, and then the ball comes out.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is he's not, as they say, an anticipatory thrower.
No,
he's a see-it, throw it. Yeah,
and he struggles to throw people open. And I'm going to call it a deficiency at this level. At the pro level, I'm going to call it a deficiency, I think, is going to be the difference. Because when you're being critical in all 22 tapes, everybody, John's right. Everybody leaves stuff on the field. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure Lamar Jackson is beating himself up watching his game tape from the Eagles last week. He left a lot of stuff out there. So John's right. They all do it. But what you see and what you can be critical of on all passing plays with Jalen Hurts is you can see that there's a
difference. Paul, we got you. We got your point, man. I appreciate it. Give me a great female movie character of the 90s.
Well, I think this role really put her on the map. Sandra Bullock as Annie in Speed.
That's another good answer.
Love it. Wildcat.
I was in love with her walking out of that movie theater. It was the first time. Well, actually, maybe Demolition Man was before that, but it was
It
early.
Was, but yeah, that was her breakout with Speed.
Yeah, that was a big deal. No question.
Is it Sandra or is it Sandra?
I say Sandra Bullock.
I say Sandra Bullock, but I've heard both, yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
But I've always said Sandra.
Yeah, me
but
too.
Tomato, tomato.
But it's her name. It's something. It's not tomato, tomato. It's one or the other.
My mom's Sandra, so she's Sandra.
There you
Sandra
go.
Sandra Bullock. Okay.
So LeSean McCoy yesterday was on WIP.
Very wise man.
LeSean?
Incredibly, with exceedingly
his commentary.
I see what you're doing.
It took me a second. Yeah, if you missed it.
Wow.
LeSean had a big endorsement, not only of Saquon, but John Richie.
Do you want to hear it? We have it cut just the endorsement.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I got to give a shout out to my guy, John Richie. He's from Harrisburg, legend. I'm from Harrisburg. He is too, so shout out to him.
I mean,
What is this?
I love every.
Is that drop of the week?
Oh, yeah, of course. Are you kidding me? It's definitely getting played.
More than me saying everybody's a pig? The whole world, we're all pigs.
Guys, I didn't even cut that audio.
You should. That one was
guys,
pretty
this,
good.
This spurs, like, stuff like this actually spurs memories in me. And I love this. Okay. When I was
Devin, he's getting emotional over here. I can say.
I'm just glad he's acknowledging it. We're about an hour delayed here.
This is 2004.
Yeah.
Summer of 2004 at training camp at Lehigh.
Okay.
Shady was about to be a senior in high school.
Okay.
And he and his high school coach, maybe a couple coaches from the staff, were at training camp. And it was kind of a nice moment. Like, they knew me. I was introduced to them.
That's cool.
I was introduced to Shady at that moment in time. And I remember thinking, they're making a big deal out of this kid. They're making a big deal out of this. Wait, what is he? He was just a junior last year. He's about to be a senior. And Andy Reid's shaking his hand. Like, Andy knew Shady.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me, hey, it's Bishop McDevitt. And, you know, I knew the coach that was with them just from being from the area and stuff. So they knew of Shady after his junior year in high school.
That's probably the main reason why he knows of you, obviously, being from that area, and that he was slightly younger and looked up to you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Amazing.
John, were you there when LeBron came around that one year, all excited to meet Donovan? Were you on the team at that point?
LeBron went to Lehigh?
No. Well, I don't know if it was Lehigh or the Eagles training facility in town.
I think it was in town.
Okay. It might have been. But when LeBron was either a junior or senior, I think it was when he was a senior. I think it was when he played that game in Princeton. Yeah, I think I missed it.
He was very excited to meet Donovan. Yeah.
Wow.
Because
that's pretty cool.
He was a high schooler LeBron. And Donovan was a star NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to some audio here of LeSean. He's a big endorsement of Saquon. But also the topic came up with Joe and Hugh with Shady. You know, what if the Eagles have, because this might happen at the end of the year, the one or the two seed locked in, locked in. Final game. Can't go anywhere other than you're already set. And do you go for the record? Will they go for the record of Saquon trying to break Dickerson's record? Here's LeSean talking about that issue.
Would you still try to let him break the record, or do you kind of say, hey, we got to keep you healthy for the postseason?
Oh, hell no. He done broke my darn record at 255 yards. He got to go get that record from Derek Dickerson. Go get it. You know, I'm laughing, but he got to go get that record. I think... As a running back, man, it's so hard to get them type of carries, right? Everything has to work right. You got to get a really good offensive line, the playmakers around you to even out and make it fair in the box. And also healthy. Like, he's been healthy this whole year, man. Like, all that stuff matters. The linemen, for the most part, maybe a game or two, but they all been playing together. If all them things are working out, you got to go for that record.
All right, so Ross, let me ask you this question. And we know this isn't really in focus yet because that's an issue for early January, but it could be a very compelling thing. Let's just say they have the one seed locked up because Detroit and Minnesota both lose some games. And let's just hypothetically say he's 110 yards short of Dickerson with one game to go, and you're the one seed. If you're Nick Sirianni, what do?
I talk to Saquon about it. I see how he feels about it. He probably tells me it's not important to him. He wants to win the Super Bowl, and he doesn't need to play, doesn't need to chase the record. He's already broken several records at that point, the season for the Eagles, the individual game for the Eagles, and I don't play him.
But are you letting Saquon make the decision? Meaning you, to a certain extent, it sounds like you're saying, and I get it, defer to Saquon initially to get his opinion, but are you saying Sirianni should let him make the decision? Because I'll also say this, there's this complicating factor. If Saquon plays, do other guys play?
That's a question. Now like, do you put him out there behind a backup O-line? Do you put him out there without Jalen?
That's a tremendous problem.
No, so that's a major problem. Here's why I'm asking Saquon, because he set the precedent earlier in the season when Sirianni asked him if he wanted to go back out to get 200 against the Giants. And we've seen that video where Saquon said, nah, let the young guys play. I don't need it. I'm good. Mm-hmm. So that's why you ask him, is because you're pretty confident he's going to say no. If you ask him and he says yes, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
I think you need
You're taking a risk there, Ross.
You do.
You are.
Because that is a different situation. It's different to say no to getting 200 in a game or to be the all-time NFL rushing leader
I'm
for
with
a
James.
Season.
Like,
but can I also say something? Yeah. Like, it's not the same. It's an extra game. You know what I mean? Like, it would be cool to have that record. And Joe, I know you're going to back me up on this.
Not entirely.
NFL record where the guy plays 17 games as opposed to all these records that were set when they were 16.
No, but it's not remotely the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's an extra game.
No,
Ross is right about that.
No, Ross, you're right about that. But here's where I think you're wrong. It's not how America typically views it. America views Eric Dickerson as holding that record. They do. Even though he played two more games than O.J. Simpson, America views it that way.
Well, that's because for so long it's been 16 games.
Well, what it is.
Maybe so you're thinking 20, if Saquon years, breaks yeah. it, 20 years from now, people won't care that it was 17 games. That's all people will remember 17 games.
Let me ask you this. Devin, would you even know that when Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's record, Walter Payton was playing 16 games and Jim Brown was playing 14 games?
No. I didn't.
You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot. I'm sure there's a million
people. But
to Ross's
point, that just happened. Joe? Like, the change just happened for us. So we all grew up and know 16 games, and we remember that. I think your point holds better to Ross. Like, 20, 30 years down the road, I think it won't matter. I think for now, it will, though.
By the way, Jim Brown might have played more like 12 games. I'd have to look that up. But anyway, go ahead, Ross. I'm sorry.
Fun fact. Got cut by Washington mid-October 2002. Got claimed the next day off waivers by the Cowboys. My first game as a Dallas Cowboy, and I suited up because they had injuries or whatever, was the day Emmitt Smith broke the all-time rushing record.
Wow.
I wasn't inside the white lines. I was on the field. I wasn't on the field for the play, but that was crazy. That's
nice.
That's an accomplishment. Like, the
that's
all-time
really cool.
leading rusher to me is a lot different than a single season.
I get it. But you also know if Jim Brown gets to play 16 or 17 games every season, maybe he's got the record. I mean, I know he retired early.
He retired after 9 years.
Well, I get
Brown,
it. But
nobody thinks Emmitt Smith is better than Jim Brown. Like, Emmitt Smith has the record, and I love Emmitt Smith, but Jim Brown was like John Ritchie in high school.
Ross, nice way to land the plane at the end. Good work, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, Ross. Hey, have a good call, Detroit and Green Bay tomorrow. It's a fascinating game. Thanks, pal.
Sounds great. See you guys.
All right, man. Good stuff. Mike Quick joins us coming up shortly. By the way, Shady talked more about that topic because, you know, I forget if it was Joe or Hugh, but one of them asked him about if he was in that position. Here's what LeSean said.
So to have a chance to break that 2,100 yards, I would say go do it. Only thing is I was just thinking, like, back to, like, my years of having a lot of yards. I mean, I got, 1,600. He's about to pass that probably this week or something like that. But as the year went on, right, I probably was a little bit more sore than ever. Like, man, I'm kind of sore. And I don't really take no hits at all. So I was just wondering, like, I don't know how his body is, right? He's a lot bigger than I am. He's probably a lot stronger than I am as well. So he might be good. But I always think about the pros and the cons, the good and the bad, you know. But if I'm the coach, forget what Saquon's talking about. We're going to get this record because it's not just a Saquon thing. It's an everybody's thing. And this is going to go down for the next 30 years when we have another guy that even break that. You know what I mean? So I would go get it.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I know it just feels like if you were in that situation, LeSean, there's no question that you would try to go for that record, correct?
Oh, hey, Hugh, listen, ain't even no question. Andy Reid, he already know what I'm thinking. I was watching one game. He was like, hey, man, do you want to let the young guys go in there or get you? I love my young guys. I'm going to go out there and get them numbers. If I get tired, come in there and get me back. You know, so.
It's a wild scenario for early January.
The stories I would hear about Ricky Waters in terms of him sharing. Ricky Waters sharing the carries.
You mean like when Charlie Garner was playing well?
Charlie Garner, him getting in the huddle was a near impossibility. Like Ricky Waters was not having it.
Well, and here was
and his coach, Skip Pete, was my coach then out in Oakland.
Well, part of what really complicated that situation, so that was 95 and 96, and what made it
complicated.
Ricky was the best player on the team. Charlie Garner was probably a top five or six player on the team.
Yeah, yeah. He might have been number six.
Yeah, he was up there, and it was
incredible player.
Yeah.
No way for him to get on the field because Ricky Waters would stand out there. Charlie would come running out, and Ricky would be like,
I remember. That's so good. Well, he was also yelling at John
he
Gruden.
No,
give him the ball.
No. And so Charlie would run out and he would run right back to the sideline.
Love it. All right, 215-592. We should get Ricky on the show. There's no question. 215-592-9494.
Also from Harrisburg.
Mike Quick, sponsored by Bet Parks. Every weekend, the double the spread boost for all users on one pro football game. Check the Bet Parks app. Friday, must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, Wednesdays are a cool day for us with the show because right around this time Wednesday, we, of course, had just said goodbye to Ross Tucker, and we say hello to Quick Six, Mr. Mike Quick. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Special shout-out to the Harrisburg legend.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Ricky Waters. This Ricky Waters. Harrisburg legend, Ricky Waters.
Big head here today, Mike.
Harrisburg legend, Tim Rimpfel, Ricky Waters' coach, who ended up, I was coached by the same man who coached Ricky Waters.
And there it is. School. Well, yes. We should get Ricky on the show. All right, so Mike, the Eagles.
For who, for what?
Yeah, for who, for what exactly. My God, what a disaster that was. So, Mike, there's so many ways to go with the Eagles. Let's start with this. Do you think they have the best defense in football?
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, if they're not the best, they're one of the top defenses in football.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk defense, the great ones, they have Pro Bowl type of players at each level of the defense, and the Eagles certainly do have that. They've got, you know, a couple of guys in the trenches that are just, they're difference makers. Jalen Carter just changes the game. He's a difference maker. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why Milton Williams has been so effective is because he's getting a lot of one-on-ones, because if they don't have two pairs of hands on Jalen Carter, he wrecks the game. And even when they do, sometimes he's still a problem. This is a very good defense. And I'll say this. It has a lot to do with the guy who's putting these guys in position, the guy who's orchestrating the movements on this defense, Vic Fangio. It has a whole lot to do with that.
How does Vic Fangio account for the potential rookie wall with two rookies in his secondary? Starting two rookies, the rookie wall, I know I hit it. I know that it is real for most everyone I've talked to, and it's right about now.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think this all this new and modern science and the recovery and all the details that they put into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, trying to get these guys back so that they are at peak performance on game day, I think that helps. But I really don't know. That's a real good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know what you really can do. I mean, you play them less, then you're not as good. So, yeah. But it is, Mike, it is notable because Jalen Carter, it felt like, really hit it last year. He hit that wall. And
undoubtedly.
Yeah,
undoubtedly. He disappeared.
And so we hope that doesn't happen to, you know, Quinyon and Cooper DeJean. Mike, the Cooper DeJean play, can you talk about, you know, so you were on a team that would have moments. I guess in 90 you were on the team, but probably injured during the Giants game. But like when Keith Byers hit Pepper Johnson, like when there's a moment like that, what does that do for the football team when you see one of your teammates have a moment like Cooper DeJean had with a future Hall of Famer the other day?
First of all, dude, your recall is just amazing to me because I was injured during that game. And I actually watched that game from the booth. With Merrill Reese and Stan Walters.
Wow.
Your recall just blows me away sometimes.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say this, Mike.
Dead hammer!
He's weird, Mike.
That's all I got to say.
Really, he's just above all else.
Dead hammer!
Weirdness.
Some would say I need to get a life, and those people would be correct. But anyway, Mike, go ahead.
So that type of play, it just, I mean, if you watch the sideline and watch the reaction from the team, it tells you all that you need to know. It gets everybody jacked. It gets everybody pumped up. I talked to Cooper right after the game, and I said, dude, no one puts that guy on his back.
Right.
And he says to me, I'm so glad he didn't see me coming. Because he was on him so quickly.
Yeah.
And just the detail in the way that he just used his leverage to take his legs out from under him, put him on his back, you just can't draw it up any better than that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Mike, let's talk about the receivers. You know, we love talking, you leaning into the receiving element, obviously, with your background. So in the absence of Devontae, and we'll see if he plays, but they're hanging in there getting wins, but it's not like these guys are flourishing. So, right. You know, AJ's AJ, no doubt about that. But beyond that, when Devontae's out, who do you feel most comfortable going to? And frankly, how good are they? And I'm talking about Dotson and Wilson and all down the line, all those guys.
I think you can tell just by the way the ball is distributed that the confidence is not there yet in these guys. And it really, it starts with Jalen, and he has to be comfortable with these guys. I thought Johnny Wilson was coming on, and he was starting to get a little more attention. So hopefully he's back. Hopefully Devontae's back, and I think he will be. We saw him out jogging around before the game last week and really chomping at the bit. So I know he wants to play. Hopefully he's back. But when you don't have the two of them on there, there's a big drop-off in the passing game and the distribution of passes, quite honestly.
Do you mess around at all, Mike, with the theory that if Devontae's not 100% but near it, that you keep him out because they should be able to beat Carolina even without him? Do you play with that?
I think you play him whenever he's ready to play. I don't think you take any team lightly. They're going to have to prove to the Carolina Panthers that they're the better team. Listen, I watched these
Carolina's
guys
playing hard.
The last two games, they've lost the last two games by 3 points each game. The last one went into overtime.
Wow, yeah.
They play hard, and their defense is not something that you just say, hey, they can't play. It's going to be a tough fight. If they don't prove early in the game that we're the dominant team, then they're going to have a fight on their hands in the fourth quarter against Carolina.
I agree with that. The Panther complacency, that can't exist. This is a good team at this point of the season.
Well, I don't think they're a good team.
Look,
we're
way better. We're way better. Mike, is there – if this team continues to win – can that be construed as a negative once we get to a certain point? You know, once the postseason starts, you don't, no more losses. But there's sort of a point in time where a loss can be good for a team. And I'm thinking right here, you know, these next couple weeks here where the coaches could turn it around for the Eagle players and say, guys, here's where we need to get better. Here's why we had problems on Sunday. You know, would a loss be advisable almost?
I don't want to see a loss. And I don't know. I think they do a really good job of compartmentalizing each and every week and not letting the last week fold over into this week. And I think as long as they continue to do that, if a loss comes up, it comes up. But you have to prepare each and every week to win the game. And that whole mindset of taking a loss or these scheduled losses that someone came up with somewhere in Philadelphia, that thinking does not exist in my head.
No, you're right. You're right. In the preparation for a game, there's no way that ever crosses your mind. But I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, as me as a fan looking at this from the outside, I'm thinking, man, this team, they might need it. It might be better for them to get that out of their system now, because then they can truly be, you know, slapped on the wrist one last time before the playoffs start.
Yeah, Mike, here's where I'm at on that theory. Like, I get what John's saying, but I also don't worry about this team not handling their business week to week. I think Sirianni's got them firing on so many cylinders right now.
And that could be.
You know what I'm saying? I think they're,
that's fair.
They're,
I mean,
okay,
that's,
on that one.
It looks like that's the way they operate.
Now, look, to be fair, 2017 Eagles struggled going into the postseason, and did that maybe help them? Maybe. Maybe Doug was able to dig in. Maybe. I mean, it happened in 85 with Villanova. They got smoked by Pitt and cranked it up in the NCAA tournament.
Of course, everyone knows that.
But coaches, sometimes they take
Are you kidding me?
Like,
Joe,
final regular, final regular season game.
People in this area of a certain age remember
that. The Pitt Panthers smoked Villanova and Raleigh cranked it up.
Three
Big East teams in the final four,
what was
right?
Three.
I don't know, but it was about a 30-point loss. Now Villanova,
30 points?
Now, Villanova subsequently lost in the semifinals of the Big East tournament, but then NCAA tournament six in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, I think it gives coaches a reason to coach guys up hard, but after a loss. But you know, that's that mindset doesn't come into play at all.
Yeah, I get you. Hey, Mike, great stuff, bud. We look forward to talking to you next week. It's an 8-game winning streak. Hopefully it's a 16-game winning streak when all is said and done in a parade. So, Mike, have a wonderful rest of the day. Great call on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. There he is, Mr. Mike Quick.